Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we have a Rotten Tomatoes game coming up, and it is epic. So, again, play along, and when you do play along, show me your scores, tweet me your scores, and I shall be happy to indulge you by reading them. We'll see if you can beat us. First, betonline.ag. You ready for some football? Yeah, man, it's officially happening this week. Time to get in on all the exciting action. Week one NFL kickoff. The season is here. The wait is over. Favorite time of the year. So, you're looking to make a bet, do some wagering online? Well, head to betonline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Big matchups week one. Green Bay at Chicago. Great uniform matchup, too. Atlanta, Minnesota, Rams. Come on, Rams. At Carolina, Pittsburgh, at New England. New England, how about we don't see in the Super Bowl this year? Get a little break. Use the promo code PODCAST1. Receive a 50% sign-up bonus and do it today. BetOnline.ag. Get that 50% sign-up bonus when you use the code PODCAST1. Your online sportsbook experts. Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns. Literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Rocket Mortgage. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home is much more than a house. That's why when you find the perfect place for you and your family, getting a mortgage shouldn't be difficult and it shouldn't get in the way. And that's why there's Rocket Mortgage. Their team of mortgage experts, number one goal is to make home buying process a smoother, easier process for you. Quicken Loans help millions of Americans achieve the dream of home ownership. And when you're ready to purchase a home, and it's the home of your dreams, well, then they can help you too. J.D. Power ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 5 years in a row. Not too shabby. Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. Rocket Mortgage, right, Dawson?
Visit rocketmortgage.com/Adam and take the first step toward the home of your dreams. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage.
Welcome back to the Toolbox. It's officially the unofficial end of summer. Hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. We're kicking off the work week with a 2 for Tuesday, brought to you by the new plant-based Tide detergent. It's made of plants, so you know it works. Reminds me of my favorite scene in Fight Club, where Tyler Durden talks about how the ancients realized that if they washed their clothes with plants, they'd be super clean. We hit rock broad bottom, friends. Things can only get better.
We're not scared to lose it all. Security cut through the wall. Future dreams we have to realize. A thousand skeptic hands won't keep us from the things we plan. Unless we're clinging to the things we prize. And do you feel scared?
Capital One Studios in Glendale, California. This is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from MTV's Jersey Shore, Vinny Guadagnino, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, he literally can't even stand people who say they literally can't even. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No charge, but get it on, man. Did you get it on, man? Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. We love that about you. Rotten Tomatoes game, always a crowd pleaser. I love it when you guys play along at home, and I love when you send me your results. So tweet us that. It's always enjoyable. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Yeah. I'm not anti-Semite. I'm anti-termite.
Good to know.
You know, for me, all is forgiven if it's funny or clever or turn of phrase. Yeah. When it's bad
when
and bad,
flat,
then it's really just bad. All right. So we're going to get a health update from Bald Brian. We were talking about Laura Spencer's apology, but we never really got into what she said or how she said it. Or we kind of got into it, but we didn't get the actual apology. Again, for me,
it was the ballet thing?
Yeah.
Little Prince George in the ballet classes.
The
God forbid she acknowledged that more guys are not into ballet than are.
It's the part that I oftentimes sort of like to drill down on is not really what the person says or the retraction. It's the wished into the cornfield part of it. Mm-hmm. Our society kind of taking a turn. People wish to be able to work. That's kind of what they wish for. And when you work in the trades, you shall be employed if you're good at your trade. Mm-hmm. Good welders, good carpenters. As I've always, it's the most insulting thing I ever say to my buddy Ray, and he hates it. But I mean it as a compliment when I say, here's how insane this business is, this home contracting. I was at a thing last night. The dads were all just talking about the ripoffs and these guys, and they're all the contractors are horrible and they're flakes and they're the worst people you ever went to high school with. And now they're coming into your home and they're giving you a bunch of deadlines mm-hmm. and dates and numbers. And they're not coming close to any. Everyone has their horror stories. And Ray always hates it. But I go, here's how bad the state of the contractor union is. You're in demand.
It's a backhanded compliment.
No, and he always gets pissed off. But I mean it. He is in demand.
Yeah.
And he's the biggest fuck up you ever went to high school with, and he is in demand.
That, top his class.
That is how bad the terrain is.
Dismal.
For this. And so now, when you are good at putting wood together, putting metal together, and you got to trade, man. I don't care if you're a diesel mechanic or a finished carpenter, you shall work. That's how it is. As we've all learned from Matt Lauer, you don't need to work. We don't need Matt Lauer. It's ironic. These guys get $26 an hour who are putting the wood together, and they are always in demand. Mm-hmm. Matt Lauer gets $30 million a year, but we don't need
totally
him.
Totally expendable.
World keeps spinning.
He just leaves, and nothing happens.
Yeah.
It's just nothing. And they know that. And so if you're a welder, you probably don't pop off on Twitter too often, but if you do, you don't need to apologize because you actually have a tangible skill. And if some guy thought you're way out of line and thought that was hurt speak or whatever and fired you from his muffler shop, you just go across the street and get another job because you're a good welder. Right. Matt Lauer does nothing.
Mm. Doesn't weld.
Thus, he gets to do nothing for no money instead of do something which is almost nothing for $30 million a year. I mean, what other test is there of does nothing right. that Matt Lauer just leaves and it's like, okay,
that's
now he's
that.
Gone.
Yeah.
Yes. Billy Bush just leaves. Although he's back now.
With a vengeance.
I didn't. Now,
burn it all down, Billy.
Listen, Billy Bush or Al Franken, I don't think the guys who are the accessories, like these guys are the girlfriends that are waiting in the car while the guy runs in and robs a liquor store. It's like they don't need to go into the hole. They do it with the wrong guy at the wrong place at the wrong time. But they don't all need to be fired. I don't know why. I'm not sure why Billy Bush needed to be fired. But anyway, we didn't need him either.
Yeah.
Now he's back, but we still don't need him. I'm saying when you do one of these jobs where your job is to sort of hit a mark and read a teleprompter, we don't need you. And thus, if you say anything that ruffles any feathers, you must walk it back and apologize immediately.
Right away.
Otherwise, you're going to the cornfield.
You might not come back.
And we shall decide if you work or not.
Exactly.
Now, we don't get to decide whether the welder works or not because he has a skill and he's needed and he'll go anywhere and be in demand all throughout the world. But here, we'll see what happens to Matt Lauer, but he's unneeded.
His trade is people.
Right. So with that in mind, Laura Spencer, who said, we'll give her initial commentary on Good Morning America, talking about Prince George's or something.
His little school schedule.
Right.
In addition to the usual first or second
grade
things.
Hold on a second. Do we have to have the dip? Do we have
yes, that? Of course.
It's the more. What is this show's? This show is not on at 2 a.m. and we're not rolling at a rave.
No.
We're,
it's like 6. People are getting up for work.
Is this really
the groggy?
Does this really become the soundtrack for everything? Like in the morning?
Yeah.
It's funny
watching a little
that.
White kid kick a soccer ball around and this is pumping.
I was just thinking about that. It's not exactly the same thing, but it's similar enough. I remember in 06, the first year of the radio show, we were still finding our feet and I was under orders to play music beds under everything. Everything. If you go back and listen to clips from that era, there are just music beds under. And I was like,
so you're to blame.
I was making all the decisions back then. I was like, this is not really what our show is it? And I was told to shut up.
It's a 7 a.m. program, and they got to pump this techno shit that just makes people dumb. So funny that you brought that up because one of my also memories of year one.
It was a specific regime.
We had one of those meetings, like one of those cocktail parties with like the sponsors and the blah, 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 blah.
Meet and greet.
They got the DJ pumping, and it was like they. Right. And so they're turning it up, and the sales manager's like, I want you to meet Bob Jenkins. He represents the McKenna BMW and McKenna Audi sales team. Rob?
Uh-huh.
Is it Rob?
Rob. Rob.
I don't...
Oh, it's Rob.
You're IKEA?
No, it's Rob from IKEA. BMW.
Is anyone dancing? I can't hear anybody. Everyone is spitting in my ear, and the guy's just pumping it the whole time. It's a bunch of 50-year-old guys, just white guys, just standing there. It's like
trying to introduce you to clients.
Yeah.
Can
Severino.
Understand a fucking
Severino.
Word that anyone was saying
like
because
Severino.
They were just cranking it up the entire time.
I remember those well.
Why?
I remember that one
what
well.
Do we need? What? I don't get it.
We don't.
Okay, sorry. You can play it from the start. So it's a 5-year-old white kid kicking a ball at 7 in the morning, but here's the music.
In addition to the usual first or second grade things like math, science, and history, the future king of England will be putting down the Play-Doh to take on religious studies, computer programming, poetry, and ballet, among other things.
Not his left!
You couldn't contain. Oh, he looks so happy about the ballet class. Prince William says George absolutely loves ballet. I have news for you, Prince William. We'll see how long that lasts. Between the religious studies and the computer programming, I just want to go back to the Play-Doh.
She walked it back at the very end. I think she got nervous. He might.
I'd love to share that to a million people 20 years ago and go, what's the apology for?
As soon as she said the word ballet, the audience laughed.
Right.
Like, they're all in on the inherent humor.
And the co-anchors.
Also, do we not want people to speak anymore? Or is it just, here's what we've approved? And we'll load it into the teleprompter, and then you just parrot back that. No crosstalk, no discussion, no thoughts.
Ballets for homos. She said, get that drop. We'll see how long that lasts.
Well, and that's what I was saying the other day when we talked about it. It's not that she was disparaging the kind of men that take ballet. She's saying he probably just won't be interested in it. It's a very different thing.
It's very likely he won't.
But here's the whole thing, everybody. Guess how much my family liked cars or football?
Almost.
Oh, I mean, given your love of it, it must have been a lot.
Yeah.
It's a fucking zero. Mm-hmm. I didn't care. Mm-hmm. I liked it. There's things I like. I tell you guys, I don't use shampoo, and everyone makes a face. And then later on, I tell them I watch a lot of TMZ, and then they make another face. It's a little different.
It's a different face.
But it's still a puss on. Okay, I like it. I don't feel like that makes me a bad person, and I understand why you think TMZ is pretty lightweight intellectually, and I understand why you think I should use shampoo, but I also just do this thing. Anyway, are we allowed to just carry on?
You can or do
we
have any words? Or not into things.
Every commentator and comedian's approval for everything all the time?
And she wasn't approving or disapproving. She was simply, what percentage of the male population is into ballet? I'm going to say it's in the single digits.
Right.
There's a very good chance he's not going to be into it.
Yes. All right. We have her written apology over
yes.
the weekend.
So obviously, a lot of outrage on Twitter and Instagram. So she goes on Instagram.
Outrage.
I'm not kidding. She was like the number one trending topic over the weekend. And she goes, my sincere apologies for an insensitive comment I made in pop news yesterday. From ballet to anything one wants to explore in life, I say go for it. I fully believe we should all be free to pursue our passions, go climb your mountain, and love every minute of it.
Yes, and please don't wish me into the cornfield.
I want to work.
Yeah, she did also say, and I don't know if it was in a different statement, but I've talked to several members of the ballet community. I've educated myself, because that's also something you must say.
The educated myself part is the part that feels like you're doing a propaganda video for the Viet Cong from the Hanoi Hilton,
that's right.
where you've realized the ugly American imperialistic ways and how this is an ill-conceived war and President Nixon is. That's the part where I like it. I like when you've educated
re-education
yourself.
Camps.
Yeah.
Look, we're making fun of this. We're not that far away from that part where we're having to tell people we're re-educating ourselves mm-hmm. off the cuff jokes that meant nothing.
We're doing it now.
The hashtag was boys dance too, like over the weekend. And then and when she goes back on air on the following Monday, a lot of male dancers protesting outside of the studio.
Yeah.
Well, they're in New York, right?
They are unemployable.
Where'd they find them?
Yeah. Do we have a clip of the apology?
Yeah, so you'll see the clip and I'll explain.
Male dancers.
Lara, I know you have something you want to share about a segment in last week's pop news.
Hold on. Stop it for a second. This is my problem. I couldn't bear witness to this. I couldn't sit next to the glare. Before we get started with some hot Kardashian talk and some robot music, I do know there's something you want to address. I'd be like, no, she's not going to apologize. She's not going to fucking apologize. This is insane. There's so much to talk about. The rainforest is on fire. The rainforest on fire. Trump's going to get us in a nuke war with Korea.
He wants to nuke a hurricane.
Boko Haram is taking another batch of female hostages and selling them into slavery. And we got to wait for this bitch to apologize about this white-on-white crime. No! Like, I couldn't sit there. Also, this is the other part, too. Where, you know, Strahan, who's, you know, was in the business of crippling quarterbacks for a living, has to sit there and have a concerned look on his face. Like, yes, I... Yeah. I want her to apologize, but I want everyone to... My new focus in life is not the person that's screaming, these ICE agents are taking pitchforks, pulling babies out of the arms of their mothers and throwing them into a funeral pyre. It's the person next to them who's a host reporter who went to journalism school at Marquette or something, and that person's going, oh yes, pitchforks, funeral, yes.
Pyres.
Now, is it a funeral or is it like a pep rally where they're using
it's a de facto
pallets
funeral
soaked in kerosene? Like, you're a reporter. You don't have any questions? This is sort of knowing nods with concerned looks.
Enough said.
All right, let's see everyone with their feigned sincerity.
There better be a hot jam under this.
Mm-hmm. Lara, I know you have something you want to share about a segment in last week's pop news.
I do. I screwed up. Mm. I did. The comment I made about dance was insensitive, it was stupid, and I am
deeply sorry. I've spoken with several members of the dance community over the past few days. I have learned about the bravery it takes for a young boy to pursue a career in dance.
Bravery.
So grateful for our very positive conversation and that opportunity to turn a negative into a teachable moment.
Teachable moment.
She's been taught.
We've taught that you're scared and that you're talentless and that you're a coward and you don't want to end up with Matt Lauer.
And you know who else we can put in the category of the reporter? You're not actually mad at her. You're mad at the other guy. I'm so sick because I'm on Twitter all the time. I'm looking for what people are saying. And I guarantee you 99% of the people outraged did not see this live. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm a staunch supporter of GMA and I can't believe this is
they
just
went
something
too far this time.
This is something you hear from somebody who retweeted. You have to look up who she is and see how exactly you're allowed to be offended, and then you get to say your piece. But nobody saw this that was on Twitter that was outraged.
Well, you think about your life, like it. This kind of stuff that sort of drives me a little nuts, which is like, what percentage of your life, as you lie in your deathbed and you go, all right, what percentage of your life did you spend looking for your toenail clippers? And you go, well, it's probably more than an hour. No. Like, I have looked for those things. And at a certain point, I started buying five of them and, like, putting one in my car and one in my bathroom. I just started spreading them around. But, all right, and how often did you spend, like, looking for your car keys or looking for something you knew you had or doing something that would fall under the heading of sort of redundant? Mm-hmm. Or even if... how many times did you spill some red wine and have to get in there and mop it up? Or how much of that time? How much of your life did you spend being outraged? Like what percentage of your adult life were you outraged? And don't you wish you could get some of that time back? Like if you're just lying on your...
If you were like presented with a ledger at the end?
Yeah, like you're just laying on your deathbed and you're like... Yeah, I spent 8% of my life outraged. And then you go, okay, what if we could really define that? Well, there was the time when you walked in to the bedroom for your wife of 13 years and your best friend was banging her doggy style and he asked you to help him cup his nuts.
Okay.
And you were outraged, right?
Okay, sure. Yeah,
but you know what? I feel like that's justified.
Okay,
that's justified
good, because
outrage.
I was really outraged that day.
Now there's this thing, Cecil the Lion.
Who?
And the dentist.
Don't
who shot
get me
him.
Started.
So... what I'm saying is
that
no one's going to remember
any of these events. Harambe was a neighbor of mine.
Yeah, there is time. You're being cuckolded by Harambe when he asked you to cup his nuts. Now, for that, you should be genuinely outraged, my friend.
Okay, good.
So my point is wouldn't we prefer to have that shrink down that ledger from maybe 8% to less than 1%?
Yeah.
And there's certainly a viable way to do that. Not be outraged over nothing all the time. Why don't we make you a really difficult outraged putt? You know what I mean? Like, it's tough to outrage this guy.
Oh.
You do not. I don't get outraged easily. And it serves me because I don't spend a lot of time being outraged.
Yeah. And I think we've talked about this idea before, but at the very least barrier to entry with being outraged, before you sit there with your bag of Cheetos in your bed, you know, trying to get somebody else fired that you've never met before, you should have to get up, leave your house, and go do something good to contribute to the world before you tell somebody else that not allowed to work.
Go to a soup kitchen.
You have to spend an hour doing something for the betterment of humanity before you try and get somebody else's life ruined.
This is very well said, and this is sort of the equivalent to when people say, like, you know, before you send that letter, that tweet or whatever, just sort of write it down and look at it for a minute, and then by the time you're done,
it's done.
You don't want to hit the send button. So we're going to do a update on Bald Brian. Nothing apropos of not that much. I just asked him off the air how he was doing, and I thought it's been a while since we've had a health update. So we'll do that. Also, Dave Chappelle clip. Yes, Brian.
I think I told you. Did I tell you guys about the MRI that went wrong the other day?
Yes.
With
yes.
the with the sticking.
You
with
said
the needles.
I'm out.
I did. I pulled. Sorry, I told you I pulled an Adam Carolla move. I said that's it. We're done. Those are my exact words. That's it. We're done. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, dude, we need the contrast. I'm like, no, we don't. We're good. And I left. And of course, we needed the contrast. I called my doctor. I said, here's what happened.
He's like,
yeah, we need that contrast. So we'll reschedule everything. Going in for my MRI and hopefully results next week. But as Dr. Rudnick explained to me years ago, I've had times over the years where there's been like, shit, my lips are feeling a little weird, or you know, just a little something. And of course, everything's hyper, you know, realized, and it's like, tumors in the back. Well, I have a stroke, for God's sake.
For the love of Christ, everyone, how often do you just get off the sofa and have a moment of a little
wiggly.
Not steady on my feet or something, or a little numbness in my pinky finger or something. And then for me, obviously I don't have a tumor, so I don't have anything to chalk it up to.
Right.
But if I had a tumor, all roads would just lead to that tumor.
Of course. So the first, he told me years ago, he's like, listen, if that tumor starts to grow, God forbid, someday, you'll be the first to know. You know what I mean? Right. Like, he'll feel those signs right away. And I feel great. So I'm hoping for good, clean results. I don't expect anything different. As it pertains to the fundraiser, Laughs with Paul O'Brien, November 2nd, you asked, you're like, how are the tickets selling? I'm like, I haven't talked to Deb in like a month. So I don't know. Last I heard, it was like we're 30% sold, something like that. She I just texted her right now saying, hey, do you have a quick ticket update? There are only 73 VIP tickets left, 71 floor tickets left, and 69 balcony. We're over half sold.
Great.
We're well over half. I was shocked because I haven't heard from her in a long time. I don't know if people are buying tickets. You guys listening are awesome. We're going to sell this event out, and it's going to probably happen quickly. And you guys are I have never wanted anything to succeed in my personal / professional life so much as this. Maybe my book, but this is like for the world. You know,
as if it couldn't get better. I just got a text from Baby Doll saying he'll now let Jimmy perform.
Oh my God!
He wasn't one embarrassing before.
This is embarrass himself.
But he's now lifted.
This is what I was hoping for.
He's lifted his boycott.
His ban.
And he will now release Jimmy to. Ooh. You don't want to humiliate him.
No,
before.
Of course.
But sorry, guys.
You said something earlier in the episode that really resonated with me. You said it wasn't pertaining to this, but it was pertaining to the Lara Spencer thing. People just wish to be able to work, right? Like it defines us. Like, well, the first thing you do when you meet someone, hey, what do you do? You know what I mean? What line are you in?
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And I thought back to, we're making a documentary, right, about this whole process, this 10-year anniversary, the fundraiser, what it's like to be a young adult with cancer. And I ran across some footage that Christy took on a flip camera. It wasn't even on her a flip video camera. It wasn't on her phone. It was on a flip camera. And this is me doing speech therapy in, I think, July of 2009. This is maybe one of my lower points. You can probably see I'm wearing a leg brace. I can't even walk on my own. I'm probably on a walker at this point. And my speech had gotten so bad. I wasn't even doing the podcast at this point. You know,
July of 2009.
Yeah, I was just doing full-time trying to recover.
So right about
worse.
Right at about 10 years.
Yeah.
Just past
10 years ago. Here's me doing speech therapy. I would go do physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy in the same day. And here is a recording of me doing some speech therapy.
Slow.
In the first global wake-up call in the first global wake-up call of its kind, 36 national and international medical journals warned the world this week that overuse of antibiotics is resulting in an alarming surge of infectious diseases resistant to treatment.
Okay.
Wow.
So it's hard. It was really hard for me to watch. I found it on my laptop, just like buried in some file somewhere. I'm like, oh shit, what is this?
Great for the doc, though, right?
It is. I mean, yeah, it is great for the doc. And it's funny because people give a shit on Twitter about all sorts of things. And a lot of time they're like, oh, Brian mumbles his words. He's hard to understand.
You don't know that.
I'm really fucking hard to understand. I had brain cancer and the ensuing radiation left me difficult to understand. I've come a long way, as you can see, but it will always be a problem. So thank you for the tweets.
Well, I know this is dangerously close to having empathy for you and giving you a compliment,
but
I'm willing to risk it. Watching that, which is heartbreaking and hard to watch, and I'm not you. And
imagine
still,
me and Christy holding the camera.
So I'm wondering, for somebody who is, God, I'm going to hate myself for this, for somebody who is as intelligent as you are and as smart as you are, how frustrating was it for you not to be able to be heard and to get your points across because you couldn't speak?
That was the hardest part, much more than the physical. You guys saw me when I was on a wheelchair for a short time. I was on a walker for many months. And honest to God, the verbal was the hardest part because you were kind enough, Adam, to invite me back to do the podcast from time to time with Teresa, right? You're doing solo podcasts for the most part, but from time to time, Teresa and I would sit in and I would have what I thought was a clever joke ready to go. And I would just kind of mumble it out. And you guys would kind of, politely laugh as though you understood, but you didn't understand because I was mumbling my word and like, fuck, this is really frustrating. And I had people, I've told this story years ago, but I had plenty of people. I think my doctor even said, you should file for disability. This is a layup case. And I said, I just want to go back to work someday. I just want to go back to work and maybe broadcast, maybe get on an AM station somewhere. This is before the podcast really took off. Mm-hmm. And here we are all these years later. I don't ever take for granted how lucky I am and how lucky we are to be doing what we're doing right now. And paying it back with Laughter Ball Brian is my way to say thanks.
Well, good. And tickets, some still available, but we're going to sell it out. And Fitzdog's going to be playing there, and I'm going to be playing there. And Dana Gould.
That's right. Dana, Larry Miller, Jimmy O. Yang, and Dunnigan, Brad Williams, the whole gang.
So good, and a good update. And yes, I wish there was a little more of an emphasis on the journey and not the destination. The destination is the paydays, the check. Mm-hmm. I've never collected unemployment. I've never collected disability. I've never collected anything because I've never thought about it. Because I never thought about money. I always thought about work. I just wanted
tempting,
to work.
Believe me. It was tempting.
I understand. Everything is tempting.
What are the chances of that guy in that video broadcasting professionally at some point?
Brian,
still zero.
When I first started here as an intern and you came in a co-host, I remember thinking to myself, why is that guy the co-host? He has no energy. He barely talks.
No energy.
Yeah.
It's all... Nice plan. It does make me worry whenever we're talking about free food and free college and free healthcare and stuff like that. Be careful, people. People need to work. They need to earn. They need to own it. And they need a sense of ownership with it.
Well, it's like your mom. It's like what she said. Why don't you get a job? Because I would lose my welfare.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a trap.
Well,
it's a trap.
Look, the lasagna. I know I like to use lasagna. The lasagna that Post-its brings to your house is as good as whatever you make in your kitchen, but they are worlds apart in terms of the experience the people eating it have and the daughter cooking with mom and all that. If you just focus on the square of lasagna and you go, I don't know the difference between the Olive Garden stuff and the stuff mama took 3 hours to make in the kitchen all day with the daughter or whoever and the son. I can't see the difference. They taste the same and the calories are the same. You'd be a fool not to order it and have it brought to your home. You are missing the biggest, most important part of life. And the politicians, all they do is focus on the lasagna. You want some free lasagna, right? You want the lasagna brought to your house? You're going to have to get everyone deserves lasagna.
It's brave enough to order it.
You are missing the entire goddamn point of life if that's your focus. You're focusing on the end. You're not focusing on the goddamn journey, which brings all the joy in life. Not... Thank you.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up by saying, Adam, you showed me a tremendous amount of loyalty and support, and by having me just hang around, let alone bring me back, and having the foresight to do this podcast. So, thank you. I don't say it enough. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And
Schimmel?
Oh God, Schimmel, who also had cancer.
Yeah.
Robert
Jesus
Schimmel's
Christ.
In this picture we're looking at. It wasn't really a choice. I just figured...
Yeah, you would have been a dick to let me go.
Brian's so sick.
Bad optics.
Let him go, Obviously, we're going to cut back his pay, but we can't clip him completely. He'll be eligible for unemployment insurance, and that's going to look bad.
It'll supplement.
Yeah, well.
All right, so Vinny's out there, and we got the Rotten Tomatoes game to play. We'll play Chappelle first. A couple people were tweeting me that Chappelle in this new stand-up special was doing some sort of shotgun-related humor, And then they were saying, like yours or whatever. And I was like, I don't know what that is. But we Max Pata sussed it out. So we'll play Chappelle's first.
I didn't know that if you're defending your home with a shotgun, the formula dictates that you're supposed to buy both boxes. This was not a formula that I was familiar with. It goes like this. The 6 shots in a 12-gauge shotgun. So when you load the gun, you load it like this. First shot, bird shot. Next shot, buckshot. Bird shot. And then after that, gun's Jamaican. Buckshot, buckshot, buckshot. She got to picture it, okay? Like, say I'm in bed and sleeping, and suddenly my wife wakes me up. David, David, wake up. And I'm like, oh, oh, look who's come around. And I pull my dick over the top of my pajamas.
Birdshot stuns and buckshot kills, evidently.
And she says, no, I hear something. I go, oh, this bitch. So I get up out of bed. Grab the gun. I say, wait here, baby. I'll go check it out. Just lock the door behind me. Oh, my God, she's right. Right there in the kitchen is a heroin-addicted white, and he's digging through the change jar by the door. I worked really hard for that change. I got to do something. So first, I wrap the shotgun. Hey, motherfucker, click-clack. That's a test. That click-clack sound will stop a rational human being in their tracks.
And from in 50 years, we'll all be chicks. My shotgun-related thoughts.
Here's my best of all worlds home protection plan. Get a shotgun. Not a Jed Clampett double-barreled type, and not a long skeet shooting type. A shorter-barreled, lighter, law enforcement-style shotgun. They're not terribly expensive. They hold 8 rounds, and some even have a flashlight built into the barrel. The sound of the pump alone is enough to drive off the highest of intruders. But if that doesn't work, you don't have to be a marksman. Here's where the tip kicks into overdrive. Make the first round a blank. That way, if the neighbor kid comes back drunk at 3 a.m. and crawls through the wrong window, all he'll get is a sobering backfire instead of his head blown off. If the pump and warning shot don't stop you, the next round is rock salt. If you get past that, then you're hell-bent on hurting me and my family. That's why the next 6 rounds are live. Trigger squeeze number 3 is a full round into your chest. That sound you just heard was Ted Nugent jizzing in his pants.
Yeah, great minds.
Yeah, the
idea
gets around. I was on rock salt. But I feel rock salt blow a curtain out and jack you up, hit you in the face.
Sure.
I grew up.
Burn.
I grew up around farmers pumping shotguns, shooting rock salt, and yelling, go on, get. That was my childhood. Not that I, only on TV. I was in North Hollywood.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, where exactly in North Hollywood was this?
I never saw it in real life, but my take on how the rest of the country in between L.A. and New York was
that's
a bunch
warning.
Of guys being caught with the farmer's daughter.
100% bullshit, Ted.
All right, let me talk about NetSuite from Oracle. You have a problem growing a business, and there's a hodgepodge of business systems. One for accounting, another for sales, another for inventory. It's a mess. NetSuite by Oracle. It's a management software that handles all aspects of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform. Save time, save money, and headaches as well by managing sales, finance, accounting orders, HR, and do it all instantly right from your desktop or phone. World's number one cloud business system, and right now, NetSuite is offering valuable insights with a free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/Adam. So you can get this free advice, grow your business, and do it at netsuite.com/Adam. Download your free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits, netsuite.com/Adam. All right, Vinny Guadagnino. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm. Guadagnino. Well,
Guadagnino. Vinny's a fan of the show, and we're a fan of Vinny's, and he's got a keto cookbook out. And nobody looks better in his Tommy John's than Vinny does, because he's up there dancing and shaking his moneymaker in Vegas. Jersey Shore, of course, you know him from, and now Jersey Shore Family Vacation, Thursday nights, 8 p.m., MTV. We'll bring in Vinny and talk, play the Rotten Tomatoes game with him and talk a little keto right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Adam, what are we going to do about the word sportsmanship? It's got man right in the middle. I think it's about to get me, dude.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Vinny Guadagnino in studio. The book, I'll correct it, The Keto Guido, right?
Cookbook, yep.
Yeah, okay. Cookbook, delicious recipes and healthy. Get healthy and look great as well. Lost 50 pounds on this diet?
Yeah, I lost 50 pounds several times in my life. That was easy for me. It was the fact that I've been doing this since 2015 and have been able to stay lean for the rest of my life. That was the impressive part.
You began a month-long residency at Chippendales in Las Vegas. And
I'm a stripper now.
How is that... what is it? Who comprises the crowd? Are they bachelorette parties? They're not locals like coming in to have a drink, are they?
Get a couple locals. I think Chippendales is the only show that's open every night. Everyone has a dark day, but not Chippendales. Like, someone always wants to go see some man ass.
Yeah, let's go on dark day.
Yeah, it's like 40 people.
Oh, God, they're closed. Oh, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I always ask everybody when they're... And when they're talking about diets and diet books and everything, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for you, Vinny, what is a typical?
Well, I fast a lot. Mm-hmm. Because of this diet, I don't get hungry all the time. Like right now, I haven't even eaten today.
Right.
And my body is still running off of the giant ribeye I ate last night at Boa Steakhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So after this, I'll probably just get like some bacon and eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll get a workout in, probably have a smoothie, and then for dinner it's just another giant meal of chicken or steak or something fatty.
Mm-hmm.
And that sustains me for the rest of the day.
How early do you eat dinner? What's the time frame between eating and going to sleep?
I try like 7-8 p.m. you know, and then just I'm going to sleep at like, who knows, midnight, 2 in the morning. But like I said, I'm not hungry the rest of the night.
The coffee with the MCT or the cream or the butter in it in the morning for me really satiates, like
mm-hmm.
just getting that fat. I mean, it's weird because we've known it all along, because you know it, like I knew it when you would eat at Thanksgiving and the pie would come out, and I could always have like 4 or 5 pieces of pumpkin pie,
mm-hmm.
but you get to one piece of pecan pie with the whipped cream on top, and you go, oh, it's so rich.
Rich.
I keep using the word rich. Like, it's so rich. Like, they're full. Like, you're satiated. Mm-hmm. You got all the fat, you got all the cream, and you're satiated. So you now do that minus the crust and the sugar, and you just get the fat, and it satiates.
And that's what the recipes are. And that's why I advocate for this way of life or diet, because the food tastes good because you're eating fat.
Yes.
You know, and obviously Vinny Tortorich talks about how it's actually healthy for you. And then once I discovered it was healthy, I was like, oh shit, like that changes everything. I always thought it was unhealthy. I thought you could lose weight from it.
The cheating way.
Yeah, like I thought it was like the Atkins diet was like this unsustainable, really scary diet that like you lose weight but you're like unhealthy. Then I was listening to Vinny on your show like in 2015, and he started talking about how butter and eggs and like eat the bacon, eat the butter. And then like you started to really go down the rabbit hole, and like the research backs it up that it's actually, there's really nothing that proves that it's not healthy for you.
Yeah, and now there's just the kind of weird vibe and stigma and animal protein and, you know, sort of that whole world we're up against with the sort of new world order of the religion of the woke and the religion of the environment and all that stuff. And that's...
I was fighting with them on Twitter yesterday.
Well, that's...
Did you see the Beyond KFC?
Yeah, we've been talking about that. That's
wait,
the new one.
Beyond KFC?
Yes, I thought we talked about it during the Popeyes discussion.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
It's a bucket of fried chicken that's not chicken.
It's the newest,
I didn't even know that
it's
one.
It's the newest offering from the Beyond Impossible mm-hmm. world.
You know, it's that world. Look at that. It's this world we're living in where I've had some of the greatest scientists alive sitting where you're sitting and said, how do we solve our energy problem? And they're like, nuclear, mm-hmm. that'd solve it. And then I go, good, let's do it. And they go, yeah, we can't. And I go, why not? And I go, because people, it's not popular.
Like
people
it.
Don't like it. And mm-hmm. I'm like, who cares what the dumb people like? Why don't we just do it? And they're like, it won't work if people don't like it. And it's like, but it does. They're not backed by any science or anything. And it's like, I know, but they don't like it.
Do?
It's like, oh, okay. What am I, insane? Let's just have keto and nuclear power plants and we get on with our goddamn lives, because I want free power. Too, or
I think
cheap
there's
power.
A way also to like fight global warming with more animals, like grazing the land. Like they were trying to do that in Russia, like on the Vice episode, because the air like lights on fire there. And like to solve it, they were going to like release like giant elks and like try to bring back woolly mammoths to like pasture the land. And then somehow it like solves carbon. It was in the movie The Magic Pill, like the keto documentary they were talking about, how mm-hmm. there are ways to actually, I don't support factory farming and shit. Like I don't like that, like all the cows and mm-hmm. chickens and stuff, but there are ways to like make it sustainable to where they're actually fertilizing the earth and they're creating more oxygen and solving global warming. Yeah.
Well, I'm completely down with whatever works. What I'm not down with is the dogma stuff and the stuff where the dumb chick's going, I know in my heart that it's wrong to kill or whatever. Like, let's just figure it out, sign off on it. And maybe that'll mean a nuclear power plant, and maybe it'll mean no nuclear power plant, but we'll just figure it out and then we'll move forward. Yeah. And I feel the same with the diet as I do with like, natural gas seems to work pretty well. It's got the word gas in it. We don't like it. Fat is good for you. It's got mm-hmm. the word fat in it. We don't like it. Like, okay. I don't think we should go through life that way.
Yeah.
I really don't.
And this is a typical like carnivore response to vegans and stuff, because I love animals. But I'm like, do you not think that any animals were killed to harvest all of the shit that was inside of that Beyond Chicken?
Yeah.
Because now you have to create like power plant,
deforestation.
You know, deforestation and like pesticides and all this stuff. And, you know, they're ripping apart animals. So they're thinking that they're like solving, they're killing more animals, I feel, you know?
What is a couple of your favorite recipes in the book? I will hand this off to my nanny as soon as I get home and I will put her to work on it.
So the pizza dough.
Tell
it's
us.
Like you said, where, you know, it's not, it's still a lot of calories, right? But it's, you don't need to eat two pies of it because it's so fat and and satiating, you know? So it's basically an almond flour cheese crust, because I'm not like a big cauliflower crust guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almond flour, mozzarella cheese, all that cream cheese. And then on top, I do ricotta cheese, prosciutto, and truffle oil.
Oh,
so
now,
it's like a white,
I just
white
ran into
yeah,
it.
There it is.
Nice.
It's like that cloud dough.
Yeah, the fathead dough, they
right,
kind of call
yeah.
it. But we kind of give it our own, like, because my mom, like, looked at the book and she's like, all right, we got to throw in some Italian seasoning here and there. So we spice it up a little bit.
This looks fantastic.
Oh, that thing is ridiculous.
Can one get this dough pre-spun?
Do we
have to make it at home?
You kind of have to make it at home. Actually, there are companies that do it, and I was like trying to like work with one because I actually love pizza, and I'm like, what company can I align with? So there are out there,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, pretty much you have to it's not in like Whole Foods. You know?
You throw it in the KitchenAid; it'll take 5 minutes.
I'm dying for a slice of this, and this is
Adam's actually bookmarking.
I'm bookmarking it. This is keto friendly because it's mm-hmm. got the almond and but you mix the cheese in with the
crust,
it's a binder.
The binder, nice. All right, let's see. We got the Rotten Tomatoes game to play. I always enjoy this. First, let me hit Castrol, and then we'll roll right into the Rotten Tomatoes game. Stronger under pressure, engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology transforms under pressure 3 times.
Boys dance too.
3 times stronger than leading full synthetic. It is the best. It's the edge. Get the edge. Get Castrol Edge. All right. Shall we play Well, you know, Vinny, how to play the Rotten Tomatoes game.
I played it along with you guys a million times. And I will say, I don't know the category today, but I have a weird psychic ability for this game. I know I'm hyping myself up and I'm probably going to suck, but let's try it.
All right.
Well, I got to say, for the most part, people don't walk in off the street and crush it in this game.
No.
For the most
people
part,
in the studio don't crush it.
I crush it at home. It's like Cards Against Humanity to me, because it's like you're not just thinking of, you're thinking of every factor that that will lead it to that score.
And,
so I'm pretty good at that.
Brian's minus 16.
I still have a hard time.
It's like the guy who hit two grand slams in one inning of one Dodger game.
Fernando Tatis?
Something like that about 6-8 years ago.
Yeah.
Who's ever going to do that? Yeah. It's impossible.
How long did I have? How many weeks did I have, like, the four?
You had like an eight or some single digit score.
Blew it out of the water.
Minus 16. All right, here we go.
Listen to that noise. It's a high falsetto. Flicks, and the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus 5.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
It's Tuesday, September 3rd. And the NFL season officially kicks off in just a couple of short days. Everybody's celebrating. But there is one birthday boy out there who's done more winning than Tom Brady ever will. And his name is Charlie Sheen. That's right, folks. It's Charlie's 54th birthday today. And in honor of the tiger blood drinking, porn star stripping, Golden Globe winning actor today, we're doing Charlie Sheen movies.
All right.
Sweet.
That's a wide range on these, you guys. Yeah. A wide distribution.
A lot of hot shots part deux.
It's 1984, the dawn of World War III.
Yeah.
Soviet forces have paratrooped into the small Colorado town in an attempt to overtake America. But not if the Wolverines have anything to say about it. Now, players, don't just impress me with your scores. Avenge me! The film is 1984's Red Dawn.
Shit, this whole game I'm going to make fun of for not seeing any of these older movies.
I've only seen the sequel or the remake.
I was taken to this movie and I was a toddler.
I've seen this movie 128 times.
And vote with your head, not with your heart.
I know. It's so watchable because it's got all those great... It's got all those...
Is Powers Booth in this?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of great scenes where he's like, he gets shot down from an F-18 or something, and he's sitting by the campfire with him. And he does scenes in movies that would never work if you were there. Like, they're all trapped up on the hill. They're hiding out from the Ruskies and everything. And he's like sitting there, and he's got his tin cup, and he's drinking his whiskey. And he's like, you guys think you're tough because you're up here eating beans. Well, that don't mean jack to me. And then he takes his whiskey and throws it in the fire.
Whoosh.
And I'd be like, are you nuts?
Everything's limited.
I fucking stole that bottle of Cutty Shark and about got my ass shot off. Now we're down to our last fucking two fingers of fucking booze and you're throwing in the fucking
for dramatic
fire
effects
so we can be spotted easier. Everyone just sort of looks at him and is like, yeah, he made his
wise
point.
Man,
a point. Yeah. I'd be like, you don't throw booze. You throw anything you want into the fucking fire, but not the booze. We're trapped on a hill. We're freezing to death. So that scene is good. I like any scene when there's a lot of stress and then the two alpha males kind of get into it with each other, and then somebody yells, you're not the quarterback anymore.
That's right.
Because they have to lay out a little plot where we knew who he was. I like when guys fight under stress. There's always, their 80s and 90s movies had a lot of fighting under stress, and then some guy would jump in and go, come on, we're in enough trouble here without
the last thing we need is fight ourselves.
Right. All right.
God.
They didn't love it, but was it? It was fun to watch.
A lot of stars at the time.
Yeah.
Swayze and Jennifer Grey.
Yeah, Jennifer Grey.
Leah Thompson.
Yeah.
All right.
Hyder Powers.
Were they stars at the time?
I think so. Or maybe was it pre?
That's pre Back to the Future.
Okay.
All right.
Hold on.
But after Howard the Duck?
That's important.
No.
No?
That's 86.
Oh.
I think.
Why do you know that off the top of your head?
All right. I just went, it's too high. Damn it. Hold on. I got to adjust myself. I went 43.
All right. Ooh. There's no reason this shouldn't be higher. This is a fun movie, well executed.
Right. That said,
I took a chance at 65.
Whoa. Ooh.
Barely fresh.
I can't imagine they were kind. I said 37.
I'm purely just studying your guys' behavior.
Smart.
Based off of
like
this.
Like a poker player. Don't look at your own cards.
Yeah. It seemed like something that you enjoyed, but I never like heard like Red Dawn was the best movie of all time or anything. So I said 62%.
Okay. Wow.
62.
Ace, you went a little bit too low. Red Dawn is rotten at 46.
Okay.
That's not fair.
People have it at 65.
65.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
I got how many points off for nailing the audience score?
Right.
After Red Dawn, Charlie Sheen's first major leading role was yet in another war movie. Oh. This time for controversial director Oliver Stone. The actor and director worked together again a year later in Wall Street. But what did the critics think of their first collaboration? 1986's Platoon.
This is easy in that the critics would like it as well. I mean, it's bloody and there's a lot of violence and stuff, but it's very counterculture and everything. And
great tagline,
the critics
too.
What was it?
The first casualty of war is innocence.
Ooh.
It's good.
Good. It's strong.
All right. So, look, we're in the high 80s, early 90s here, but this is also... I mean, who watched this movie? In order to be below 100, somebody had to watch this movie and go, this is not a C-.
Yeah.
Lower than 60.
Did it suffer from being like after Apocalypse Now, after a few, you know, Deer Hunter, after a few other Vietnam movies?
Probably, and that can hurt things, but I think the critics liked it a lot. 89.
I think it's won Best Picture, and it's a fantastic, almost flawless movie. 98.
Wow! When you tried to throw everyone off with your question,
I asked a question.
my answer in my head was: I think those movies paved the way for more great movies like it. I said 91.
Again, I've never seen it, but I've heard great things about it. So I'm saying 88%.
Okay.
We have a deduction.
Here we go.
Shut up.
Platoon is certified fresh. At 88%.
I told you. I have this weird psychic thing with this game.
That's shocking.
Except for the first one.
Good for you.
And by the way, I used to say this to Dr. Drew all the time when he'd go, I've never seen The Shining. I'd go, good. I would feel blessed. I'd pay someone $1,000 to have never seen The Shining.
I
would go home on Saturday night and I would watch The Shining. He never did it. But the point is... These are two war movies, war-esque movies that you can now put on put in your queue. These are great movies.
I wish we were doing like Italian movies, but whatever. I'll take this.
We'll begin with the log line for our next film. A maverick skydiver and a former KGB agent team up to stop the Russian mafia stealing gold. Yeah, come for the witty banter, stay for the climactic sequence, during which a mid-air rescue occurs from a bright red Cadillac Elante North Star Edition. Don't confuse it with Speed, which came out 3 months earlier. 1994's Terminal Velocity.
Yeah.
Must say I have not seen this.
Sheen and Natasha Kinski. She was some kind of hot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, her name's Natasha. She's halfway there.
Yeah. All right. Wasn't her big thing with the poster with the snake? Wasn't that her thing?
I don't recall that.
What poster?
There is a famous model poster where I think Natasha Kinski had a python. It was a poster, and it had like a python sort of wrapped around her in a certain way.
All right.
And it was a very iconic poster from the 80s or whatever it was. Blow it up there, Max Brown. It's a keeper. All right. So it ain't fresh, but it may be fun. Does this poster look familiar to anybody? It's a 80s.
It's a great poster.
The guys next to your Lamborghini, you know, poster you have on your wall, you'd put the Countach poster, you'd have Natasha Kinski.
Sweet Countach.
Yeah, sweet Countach.
She can have a tummy and still look yummy. A little bit of a tummy. I like that.
All right. Not... not can't be fresh, but how, you know, I mean, look, this kind of thing that could be in the high 20s. Mm. Sheen is a really charismatic guy that people kind of forget about how sort of likable he was on camera. And this thing had a bunch of action. And I'm coming in at 39.
Damn it. 33.
36.
So I have no idea about this movie, but I've listened to you guys play this game a lot, and I feel like we're at the point where we need like a dud to fall in. Okay. Like, I don't know who thinks about this, so I'm saying 22%.
Okay.
It's a good call.
Terminal Velocity is rotten at 20%.
Oh, my God! You. Stop it!
I think Vinny's got a pretty big lead at this point.
The humanity.
The people have it at 22 as well.
If you guys right just didn't say anything, I would suck. But I'm trying to pick up on your guys' behavior.
Like the poker player that reads the other player's faces. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know this, but Charlie Sheen's real name is Carlos Estevez.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
That's right.
He's acted alongside his brother Emilio in several films, and in 1998, the boys were joined by Kiefer Sutherland and a bunch of other studs and stallions to shoot some guns in the Wild West. Mm. 1988's Young Guns.
Mm. Hmm. Does this have a soundtrack that went along with it?
Blaze of Glory, right?
That's Young Guns, too. I mean, I have no idea.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah. Casey who?
Semezco?
The Forgotten Young Gun.
All right. Let's see. Yeah.
Come on, Adam. Okay, give me something.
They didn't like this.
This is like Rat Pack Goes West.
Yeah, and also all the 80s or 90s Western-y kind of, they did a chick version of this. Remember they did a good-looking chick version
of
this?
Yes, it was called Bad Girls.
Yeah, Bad
I'm
Girls.
I'm almost positive.
It's never good.
I saw that in the theater.
Because they have like weird 90s hair and stuff. And, you know, the okay. All right.
Drew Barrymore, Annie McDowell, and Annie McDowell. Else.
They kind of look like skater dudes with leather vests.
Adam Stowe?
I don't know.
All right, let's see. Okay. All right, where are we at? Let's see. Do they hate it? Now, again, this could be 20. This could be 14. But Westerns are kind of hard to screw up. I mean, you know. Well, they
could
be
guys.
There could be bad ones. But wasn't. Damn it.
I have no idea.
I'm going to say that I liked it a little bit. 37. Mm.
Damn it, we're close again. 41.
31.
All right. All-star cast. This is usually the point of the game where...
Is Vinny writing his scores down?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. He's down the whole time. You just threw in a dud. So you're not going to throw in another dud.
He's inside Mike Lynch's
not
brain.
Not too high either. I'm going to say 54% and it'll shock everybody.
We have another deduction.
Oh, God.
What is that? What does deduction mean?
It means you get an extra
deduction.
5 points.
Oh, if you get it right on.
I don't think it's me, though.
I'm a big fan of Westerns, and I tried to watch this 3 years ago. Young Guns is rotten, and it's been gifted a score of 41.
Oh, I needed that badly.
Brian needed that.
All right.
I'm not going to be on the podium.
Vinny, this is, that's what Brian does.
I need it that badly.
You feel like you put a little distance between you and him, and you did. You had a little bit of a lead, and not only does he make up the ground, he does a 5-point deduction, and now he's nipping at your heels.
Oh, I need that badly.
The people love this movie at 76.
Yeah. Yeah. This was a crowd pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
Bad girl.
It was Madeline Stowe.
Yeah.
Wow.
Topper Harley is an American hero.
Yes, finally!
The man who personally bombed Saddam Hussein and once made a woman so hot he cooked eggs and bacon on her stomach. If you think Tom Cruise has moves on a motorcycle, then you've never seen Charlie Sheen in 1991's Hot Shots.
Oh, okay.
Is this our last one?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is really hard because they're funny movies, but critically,
we don't know
if they're going to get points for it or not.
You know? This is the ultimate. When you saw it when you were a kid, how does that translate?
And also, the formula had withered a little bit. This is after Naked Gun. This is after Airplane. This is after Naked Gun 2.5.
Top Secret.
Right. All right.
Lloyd Bridges.
I mean, it's still funny. I laughed my ass off this movie.
Carrie Elwes.
This is tough.
Had a sequel.
This is tough. I'm playing from behind, Gina. I think you're with me somewhere in the caboose.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to make up a little ground. So I, having to, now this is probably a, I'd say this is a mid-50s, mid-60s range here. But Gina, you and I, we got to make up a few points.
Yeah.
So we can't hang out in the middle. This, I always give this speech at the end.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes
gotta,
I listen, sometimes I don't.
We got to go big or we got to go small.
Yeah.
Then this is the kind of thing. And it does happen. It happened the last time we played. It's like some crappy movie. It was 82%
or
something.
It was Zorro.
Remember? Yeah, Zorro was 82%. So we go big or we go small.
Okay.
I'm going to go big with 74.
Ooh. I wish you were right. This is a fun movie and a funny movie. I think the critics were killing this one. I said 51.
Yeah, I had to go the other way. I said 40.
Good call.
I feel like we expect the critics to not like this, but it was kind of like one of the first of its kind, I feel. I'm going to say 72%.
Wow.
Ooh. Oh, I needed that.
Should I have just played it down the
road? Well, we don't know.
Maybe it is 72.
I don't know.
Hot Shots is fresh.
What?
At 83%.
Hey! Oh,
well, that kills
did
me.
Win? Wow.
This is the best moment of my life.
Vinny out.
This is the best moment.
I think I lost it on that one. It seems good for you, but we don't know. This is really,
I don't know, but
we're really all over the road
to
here.
To listen to you guys play this and to come here and win, I mean, I don't
that
know.
Blew me out. Win yet?
People at 65, critics at 83. You never see movies like this at that.
What did you say?
I said 74, and I should have listened to more of my own advice and gone even higher.
Bald Brian.
I'm about off the podium for the first time.
Congratulations on your score of 69.
Oh, yeah, nice.
You also made the podium, edging out Gina Grad.
Yeah, that killed me.
Gina, your score, 81.
Yeah, that was a 43-point difference.
Leaving us... the battle of Adam and Vinny.
Yes.
1 point separates you
what?
Two.
What?
Oh, my God.
A single point.
Adam Carolla with a score of 36.
That's a good score.
Ooh. Leading me to say, congratulations to Vinny on your new cookbook. The Keto Greedo, available now. However, your score of 37 puts you in second place. Congratulations.
Wow. Damn.
What that a was
game.
Still a great showing.
That was
you
a
should
very,
be proud.
You hold your you head sure? up, son.
Are you sure? I don't remember you doing that well.
Are you sure?
I like how Vinny was playing against the game rather than playing against you guys.
Hey, maybe we should all take Vinny's advice.
One of those movies, except maybe Hot Shots.
You're so
ago.
Lucky to be named Vinny, by the way, because my entire life, with the stupid name Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what kind of name is Carolla?
Right.
And if my name was Vinny Carolla, there'd be no problemo in the heritage department. Mm-hmm. But the Adam screwed everyone up. It's, people are so dumb. They focus on the first name. Like they go, Adam would throw them off and they'd go, what kind of name is Carolla? And it's like, Carolla. Carolla. It's Italian. But if it was Vinny Carolla, there'd be no questions asked. Wow, 1 point.
Damn.
Brian, I know you. You can taste victory. Like
I know.
You just had it. You
fumbled
were just
the goal
frothing
line.
At the mouth.
I mean, I really went the wrong way on Hot Shots. I'm happy to lose on a movie that I like and think the score, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad the score is 83. I wish I would have known that.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news with Vinny right after this.